from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from an impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. Or it must be a Tuesday, but maybe it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left.
Vamos, let's go.
It's nice to be with you, friends.
Good to see you guys.
What is up?
Well,
is going on?
I'm in a really awesome baseball mode right now.
You should be. It's early August. Things are tightening up. I don't know if you've seen some of the wild card, even some of the division races. Some teams are clenching butt cheeks right now.
Getting to the sprint.
I've got a lot. What's actually keeping me in baseball really hard right now, other than what I normally am about with baseball, is fantasy. I'm in a league that we get to keep three guys.
We're diving right into fantasy baseball. Not even a minute into the show.
No. We don't have to do that because that's
head
boring.
First.
That's boring and nobody cares. But like, we are in a league where you get to keep three guys where you drafted them. Or if you trade for them, you get them where they drafted them.
Oh.
And next year it's going to Dynasty.
Yeah, I think you've explained this.
So I am so into it. I just traded Freddie Freeman.
Oh, boy.
It's a big move.
For a fifth-round pick. I took him in the second. But my team is really bad.
I'm enthralled right now. What's the record?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh,
I want to know. You said my team's real bad. I want to know.
I'm in 11th out of 12th.
Oh, boy.
Place.
Oh, boy.
I came on really strong, and then Christian Walker decided that he hates me, and Riley Green decided that he hates me.
Hey, you got those Mariners pitchers giving you quality starts, though, right?
I do have George Kirby.
Kirby. Yeah, he'll get you 75 pitches and then call it good after the fifth inning.
Hey, shut up.
5 2/3 is what we laugh about.
He just made the Cy Young voting awards for the first list.
Huh?
So I'm watching a lot of baseball right now. I know everybody wants to watch the Olympics, and I find it really funny with the Olympics. I don't know if anybody's talked about this. I have unfortunately not been able to listen to our wonderful friends here, whether it's Durden Sprague, Danny Dusty.
I've been locked in on Olympic podcasts for the last couple weeks.
Have you really?
No.
Okay, good.
I was like, really?
No. I find this
I don't care that much.
I find this really interesting about the Olympics. I've noticed that those of us, and I say us, but I mean collective us, but I will say the three of us, we are such diehard American sports fans, whether it's baseball, football, basketball. You know, personally, I dabble in the EPL. I love college basketball, etc. Is it strange to you guys that those of us ilk could care less about the Olympics and those that don't really watch sports are enthralled by them?
I hear what you're saying. I will push back a bit because I feel like even diehard sports fans enjoy the Olympics, but I understand the other sentiment of that. Like my girlfriend, she is just putting the reruns on. Like when the Olympics aren't live, she's going to the Peacock, the cock, and just replaying what happened last night. So she's locked in. Her friends are locked in. Did you see Simone Biles, her floor routine the other night?
It's like, but Simone Biles' floor routine was 8 hours ago.
And she'll watch it. She even knows what happened. But that's the thing. She rewatches it. And I'm like, damn, that's I don't care that much.
That's also the other thing. Like, I can't tape delay sports.
No, neither. I can't either.
It's so hard because I have the access to sports right away. That it's like, okay, the Chiefs are playing the Bills tonight on Sunday Night Football, but I won't get home until 8 o'clock, so I'll start the game at 8. No, I can't do that because by 8 o'clock,
game's over.
Game's almost over. We already know where it's going. But with the Olympics, like, kudos to Peacock and NBC. Nobody cares that you can find these results. You know, if you're watching,
they still watch it, whether it's live or
American volleyball, hard court women's volleyball was playing Poland. And that was on TV 3 hours ago, but it happened 8 hours ago.
Yeah.
And you can look up online to see what happened. But people that watch the Olympics, they don't do that.
Well, right now I'm looking on the cock on the featured replays section. Like I could easily just Google what happened in the women's skateboard park final. I could easily Google what happened. Well, I actually already know what happened in the USA Brazil basketball game, but the women's soccer semifinal against Germany. Don't know what happened with Team USA there. I could easily Google this. But you know what? I'm going to dabble in this women's park final, this skateboarding park final.
And you're going to watch it.
Hell yes. But they got some, like, I do know there's this, like, 12-year-old Chinese girl out there that is just absolutely shredding things.
But I look on the TV. The Astros are playing the Rangers right now. Mm-hmm. And Framber Valdez is in the eighth with 91 pitches.
Ooh.
And has not, what's the best way to say this? Has not allowed someone to make contact with the bat and get on base.
Ah, I see where
see
you're
going. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? You don't want to talk about it.
So he has no hitter going.
You're just kind of skating around, but you're just saying...
You just poo-pooed all over Framber Valdez.
The magic could be happening.
My bad.
But in the Olympics, like, if that's going on right now, my phone will buzz me and tell me Framber Valdez has a no-hitter going into the ninth. He just got out of the eighth. I'm like, oh, I got to watch that.
Oh, but he's strutting.
But in the Olympics, you don't care. Like, if you didn't watch men's basketball today, which I would argue is the only, which is funny, as a non-NBA guy, I do actually really like Olympic basketball.
You would.
Because I like the structure. I like FIBA's rules. I like the lines. I like how they do basketball.
You like non-competitive basketball games?
So I love college basketball. Yes, I love non-competitive basketball games. So if I didn't watch that in the morning, I still can't watch it at night because I already know.
I mean, shoot, I watched Noah Lyles live, like, when it actually happened in the morning, winning the 100 meters, and then I was willing to watch it again later that night. It was that captivating to me. And I don't know if you guys get the Olympic updates on your phones, like you just said, the Framber Valdez, like, alert, you know, seven innings through a no-hitter, but, you know, I see Simone Biles, oh, she wins the silver on the floor routine. I'll still watch that, because this is A, once every 4 years, and B, I mean, this is just a different kind of athletic greatness than I think we see every day in the world of sports that we watch.
Well, I will say, I just can't keep up with the times and what's happening, when, at what time, and hey, this is when this competition, I just can't. I just can't keep up with the Olympic schedule. So that's why I'm a very just casual Olympic watcher. More often than not, I'm trying to see what's going on with women's beach volleyball for obvious reasons. But
my wife even wants to watch that one with me.
So. Well, I actually like the cycling and the running because it's through the city.
Yeah.
So it's like wherever the Olympics are.
Or what about swimming through the poop river and then getting E. coli?
I don't want to see that because I know that's a bad idea. I have crossed the River Seine a couple times. I did it last summer with my wife. We were in Paris for...
And you just got E. coli being near it.
Just smelling it. I was like, that is a terrible river. I will take the poop-filled Willamette.
Hey, they apparently have cleaned it up. I was reading some things today that they're doing their best to keep that E. coli count down at the poop-filled Willamette.
Oh, yeah. They got rid of, in the Beijing Olympics, they got rid of smog somehow. They usually do that for the Olympic Games.
No, I'm talking about the Willamette.
So if you have...
We don't have the Olympics going, and we're cleaning that baby up.
Let's just use math real quick, all right?
Ooh,
I know math.
That's
dangerous for us, I know.
Settle down.
But if there are 50 people swimming in the Seine for this event, okay, and 10 of them get sick, okay, that's 20%. Do you call that a win? Or do you call that a loss?
I call that a loss because you had 50 people swim in that thing willingly.
Well, I don't know willingly. They had to because they wanted to compete.
Even if zero came down with E. coli, then you're like, wow, we dodged a bullet right there.
Yeah, is this better or worse than Rio? Because 8 years ago, I don't know if you all remember. That was the
Zika.
Ew, and it was not good. Like, trying to swim in that water, there was a lot of worries about that.
Yeah, that was the Zika Olympics. I remember a bunch of the golfers were tripping out about just Olympic athletes were tripping out about not going there. But, listen, man, shouldn't go in that river. The Olympics, I like them, but again, for the ancillary sports. I love becoming an expert on these ancillary sports within 10 minutes also.
Ping pong, I know everything about ping pong.
Oh, dude, handball, awesome. Handball's
fun.
Handball expert at this point.
I've got a buddy who is from Manchester, England, and they were playing what we know as basically field hockey.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
On the hard court. It was India.
Great Britain. Oh, I was watching that myself, too.
India got a red card, but India won in a shootout.
I was saying, this has got some historical tensions in this matchup.
And I was sitting at the bar with a buddy of mine who is a big ice hockey fan. Okay? Big ice hockey guy.
You can just call it hockey.
Yeah, so. like fantasy, like the whole shebang. Like, he's from Detroit, obviously a big Red Wings fan. He calls it hockey. And the bartender, who's from Manchester, he was saying, no, what you play is ice hockey. This is hockey.
No.
And we were like, you're so wrong.
No.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just stop,
and
dude.
Then the graphic popped up, and it said men's hockey.
See, but that's just because the Summer Olympics.
That's what they call it.
Well, it's the Summer Olympics. Like, duh, this is the only hockey going on in the Summer Olympics. But if someone... You could pull 99 out of 100 people in this world and be like, hey, do you like to play hockey? Taken from all different countries.
No, I can't because I can't skate. That's what they would say.
Yeah, but they would know you're talking about ice hockey.
But if I go to the Olympic website, they're both listed. It's ice hockey and field hockey.
But that's what I mean. I think it's listed as hockey and ice hockey.
That's weird.
Also, fun fact in this women's skate.
Remember, America's not everything.
I don't know. Have you seen that medal count, baby?
Yeah, we use inches instead of kilometers.
We run the world.
Dude, the ladies run the world.
We run this bitch. The women's skateboard park final, the oldest skateboarder of the eight.
Let me guess. 17.
No, 23. But there's multiple teenage girls that are skateboarding in this competition.
And they're from China.
15, 16. I think one was from Spain. But yes, multiple teenagers in this final.
We have to remember, when it comes to the Olympics, the Chinese have like 2/3 of the world's population.
Yeah, that's
maybe not two thirds. A third,
it's maybe close. A little bit over exaggeration.
They have a third of the world's population. You should be good at stuff.
Well, hey, India's got a butt ton of people. They should be.
They have a billion people. China has 3 billion people. There's 9 to 10 in the world.
What's their medal count looking like? India, step your game up.
I don't think India's doing
well. They were like 5th, 6th, or 7th. They're kind of down there.
But I don't think they're doing well.
No.
But boy, were they happy to get that field hockey win over Great Britain.
I'm down sure a man?
Like, they're like, in your face.
In your face.
Remember that time you occupied our country? Yeah, take that.
For like 500 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they made IPA. So
they're like,
great.
Hey, as long as we won the field hockey quarterfinal matchup against them, right?
Oakley Dunkley. Well, we do got a lot of show to get to you tonight. We will update you on our favorite player to update you. Plus, we got bad teams and how bad they are. We've also got some bullpen struggles.
Oh, dude, India 63rd in the medal count with only 3 bronzes. Get it together.
Wow, get it together. Awful. Well, they could get a gold if they win in hockey.
Field hockey.
Hockey.
I mean, you're barely better than Malaysia, Lithuania, Tajikistan. Come on.
I bet Lesotho has more medals than they do.
Lesotho, or is it Lesotho?
I think it's Lesotho. That's the enclave within South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got a lot to get to you today. Plus, we'll talk about some bullpens that are in a little bit of a mess. There's an offensive team all of a sudden that was not very offensive. Is that sustainable, or is that just a little plug? Plus, we got fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, my friends, I have something to share with you.
Oh, boy.
I have a giant announcement to make.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will check in on our favorite player of the hot corner. Plus, we will dive into the worst team in baseball and could be the worst team ever in baseball. So that's the rest of the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into a lot of other stuff. plus fair or foul. That's what we do. So
got a sexy one this week, actually.
Pretty excited. you got a sexy fair foul.
I put a lot of work into it. I was really bored today, and I was like, you know, it took me like a legit couple of hours to put some research into this one.
You might get slightly aroused listening to it.
That is what we call a tease. In the 8 o'clock hour, I'd like to get into bullpens.
Oh my God, Framber Valdez got caught with sticky stuff.
But I would also, Joe, stop, dude. You're gonna freak people out. But I'd also like to get into a bad offense that all of a sudden looks kind of like a good offense. So there's a lot coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But, boys, I got to share something with you. Okay? I am a Seattle Mariner fan, right? I was a long-time Cleveland Indian fan.
Yes, yes. I remember. I recall.
I went to Game 1 and Game 2 of the 2016 World Series.
Yes, yes. I recall.
Game 7, I had a buddy of mine who is from the north side of Chicago who lived in Portland at the time. He now is back in Chicago. When the Cubs won the World Series, I let him cry in my arms while I was
cried in his arms?
Very mad at Mother Nature. Mother Nature is one of my favorite humans, entities, whatever you want to say, auras, to exist. I'm about to go spend 5 days with her.
Okay, hippie, what are you getting to?
I was watching a Seattle Mariner game, and it was the other day when Mitch Haniger walked to walk it off.
The walk off
against the
when
Phillies.
He should have gotten struck out.
He should have gotten struck out. That was a really bad call. Fully agree.
Although there have been other calls where they got screwed on, so it's evening out.
And I watched Haniger walk off the Phillies, and I turned to my buddy, who is a big time Mariner fan, because we were watching the game together. And I turned to him and I said, I can't do this. And he was like, what do you mean? He was like, the Mariners just won. And I was like, I can't do this. I have no passion left in me to exert on this team.
Don't.
So what I'm going to share with you, my friends.
Oh, my God.
Is that I'm out.
What? I mean, I think
hasn't
I know
even
why,
been
please,
two full digress. Seasons.
No, no. I'm fully aware that it has been less than two seasons. And my friends, what I'm telling you is this current abusive girlfriend, I can't handle anymore.
Boo.
I am going back.
I need two drops. I need from Half Baked. Boo this man. And I need the chick from Game of Thrones ringing the bell. Shame. Shame. Ding, ding. Shame.
I am going back to the abusive girlfriend that I know how she acts. My friends, I'm a Cleveland Indians fan.
Well, that's not a team, so I don't know who you're rooting for exactly. Do you even have a team anymore?
Terry Francona, Frankie Lindor at short, Kluber on the mound. I'm an Indians fan.
All right.
You're going back?
I'm going back. Right. I'm buying a hat, like, tomorrow.
Listen. I'm not going to give you too much crap because I was once a fickle college football fan. I could not find a team during my high school, early college years. I jumped around. I first was a USC fan, and then they decided to lose to Oregon State every other year at the most inconvenient time, or lose to UCLA at the end of the year.
Mark Sanchez rolls into Corvallis, and Oregon State's not very good, and they lose.
Or it's like, hey, let's have an undefeated season and then lose to UCLA 13-9 last game of the year, whatever the hell it was. So, and then I went from them to Kansas State. I had a stint with Colorado. And then I went to my mighty Oregon Ducks because I decided to give them thousands of dollars per year for education, which I
Pitt Panthers in basketball.
Pitt Panthers for basketball forever. All right.
Forever.
They will always be number one
in
my heart.
I know you won't lose that.
Over the Ducks, number two in basketball. But football, it's Oregon Ducks. And it's been like that since 2012, 2013.
But what
like
I'll say, Joe, is that Pitt Panther love that you have, I can't quit Cleveland.
See, it's
so I'm going back. I can't. That's just the abusive relationship that I know, and it's comfortable. And Stephen Vogt should be manager of the year.
It's quite possible he might be, but
Jose Ramirez, the most underrated player in baseball. Now that I've said for a long time.
Well, and I don't know how much longer you're going to be able to say that.
Anderson! Down goes Anderson.
Framber Valdez just gave up a solo shot.
Did
he?
Two-run
shot in the ninth with two outs.
Oh, what a bum. What an idiot with two outs.
You can put it on the ball.
I would have never. I would have not done anything like that in MLB The Show.
But my friends, Corey Seager is a two-time World Series MVP, should be a Hall of Famer because he's done it in both leagues. Only Frank Robinson has done that. Like, I'm just saying.
What level of emotion is worse, giving up the a two-out, ninth-inning no-hitter that you have? Like, is that lower than the high of taking that away from someone?
Getting
on a two-run shot?
Oh, I think...
Like, I would think the low is lower than Corey Seager being like, yeah, that's right, bitch.
Now, Valdez is getting pulled right now.
Well, yeah.
If he stayed in the game...
It's over!
If he stayed in the game, I would argue Valdez is winning. Okay, you got two outs, you gave up a dinger, you almost had a no-hitter.
I like how MLB Network's like, and we're out of here.
Done.
We're going to go
but
to another game.
But the fact that he gets pulled... Kyle Seager goes, suck it, bitch.
Yeah, Corey. That's definitely.
Corey, yeah, sorry, Corey.
Shout out to
Kyle's
Mariners.
Freudian slip there.
I see. Can I say that I see, as a diehard Mariners fan, I see why you were out on them, because even though they won that Philly series and with that, 6-5 walk-off, guess how many times they struck out total as a team through the series?
I don't need to. I just can't. Like, I know that woman hits me in the face. But I like it when Cleveland hits me in the face more than Seattle hits me in the face.
30 times, by the way. 30 strikeouts.
30 times.
So I understand it's something that I can't get out of. I feel like your Indians relationship is my Mariners relationship.
And Paul, you got to build up. And Paul Dolan is brutal. Like, the upper echelon, the execs in Cleveland are awful. It's just as bad as Seattle. It's really hard to deal with. But I will tell you this.
You're such a pee.
I will tell you this. The GM of Toronto, which has kind of fallen apart, but for a while there looked really good, and the GM of Atlanta, who won a World Series and has built a perennial, those guys are Cleveland guys. Kevin Cash in Tampa Bay, that's a Cleveland guy. Terry Francona, like, the organization, despite its upper echelon being brutal, still produce. Seattle, I can't do both.
I mean, you can even go back, like Mike Hargrove in the 90s and 2000s. Great manager in Cleveland.
I love Mike Hargrove.
Yeah, huge name there.
We've lost three World Series since 95.
Well, I hope you lose four now.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, you could have done this after the season.
Nope, I'm doing it now.
Yeah, didn't Eric Wedge spend, like, what, five seasons there, win manager of the year as well after Mike Hargrove? I mean, they have had a very consistent run of good leadership in the dugout.
2007, we're two outs away from going to the World Series to play the Rockies.
The Matt Holliday-led Rockies.
Troy Tulowitzki-led Rockies.
Sox got us because our bullpen failed, just like in 97. And Manny Ramirez was the MVP because Manny Ramirez's World Series stats are stupid.
Mandaram.
And we went over World Series in 2016. If Mother Nature, who I pray to every single day, would have loved me, we would have won that World Series as well. Well, I'm going back home.
Listen.
It's coming home.
As a Cowboys fan, when a team just leads you through misery, I understand. But I do not condone, as a full-grown adult, pulling a Jason Swigard. But granted, the one thing is, it sounds like they just never truly had your heart.
Nope. That's what it is. What I've learned.
You were texting your main chick on the side this entire time.
Yep.
You were cheating on the marriage.
Yep.
You still love her.
Still follow the subreddits. I still know their games.
Say it! You still love her!
You're going to go back to her. No, I'm not, babe. Yes, I am.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Unbelievable.
That's where I am.
I get it.
Die hard Cleveland Indians.
You couldn't even go 2 years of being a Mariners fan. That's how bad it is.
I'm going back to Cleveland.
And they weren't even losing seasons.
I know. I'm going back to Cleveland.
Well, I hope.
It's not even because they're good. It's just what feels right.
You know what? I hope we get Mariners Orioles ALCS now with either of our teams knocking out the Cleveland Guardians in the ALDS.
I hope so, too. I'll take the Orioles in that.
I hope that's what happens.
I'm down with the Guardians. I just hope I never have to hear the drummer again. I think he's passed away.
He did pass away.
It's not about the person. It's just about the noise. Every time the Mariners played in Cleveland, especially at Jacobs Field, I don't think he was around as much a Progressive, but I will never forget that boom, boom. It's like, oh, my.
Jacobs Field and Progressive are the same stadium.
Are they really?
Yep, just different names.
What's the stadium before that I'm thinking of?
Oh, it's like some garbage memorial. Thanks. It's in Major League. Go look at that.
But same.
All right, let's get into some real baseball. It's time to let you know an update of our favorite player. We've been giving updates all season on is this player back, and we will retire that series next. But first, there's Schultzy with sports. 738 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Vancouver text line 503-864-6326. We got a lot coming in that are backing me to leave the Mariners. I'm a guards kid now. I'm going to buy a hat in a few days. And that's where we are. Usually I say those lines at 7:15, but I got a little excited, and so here we are at 7:30. 8.
I can't believe you. I can, but I can't.
You
make me sick.
You know, Joe, I think one of the more fun things, when I look back at the 2024 season with our show that we do here, this little stupid baseball show, one of the most fun things we had was, is this player back? And there was a while there where the answer was yes.
There was a while so much that I was like, hey, let's put him back in our open.
Yeah. There was a while there that we felt, and we've always been a fan of this player, and we've always loved and rooted, and they're a bona fide Hall of Famer. Yet here we are, as a few days, another torn meniscus for the great Mike Trout, who will be out for the rest of the season. And I dove a little bit into it and looked at stuff and found out that in the last 4 years, Mike Trout has played one game after the All-Star break. In
last
the last four years. One game after the All-Star break.
Are we sure about that? Because 2022 played 119. 119 games. Is that really only one game? That can't be just one game after the All-Star break.
Maybe I'm wrong. But the reality remains is that Mike Trout is a first half of the season kind of player.
And you look at his games played per year, stark difference from the first 10 versus the last four. Because, I mean, 2020, those numbers always look weird because he played 53 out of 60 games in the COVID year. But then 2021, 36 games. 2022, 119. Last year, 82 games. And then this year, 29, which will be a career low in games played for him.
My friend, this is the question I ask you. Are we done?
I think we're not done. Mike Trout is not done. He will come back next year. He will continue to play baseball. It's just we got to be done putting so much faith in his production. When you have three injury-prone seasons in three out of the last four, then it starts to become a trend.
And
especially this year when you tear your meniscus, try to come back, and then you tear it again. It's like, all right, your body's not healing like it once was. You are what?
Are you rushing back? I would have to think he's not rushing back.
You're 32 years old. Going on 33. I know he is a specimen of a human being. He is a professional athlete. But again, you're not in your early 20s, mid-20s anymore. This is kind of looking like who he is. And I heard the comparison the other day. I don't know if it was the morning show guys, one of our other shows or what, but we're getting into Griffey territory.
That's the question I was going to ask. Like, is this the next Griffey? Because Griffey is a bona fide Hall of Famer, over 90% of votes in. I don't know who the four guys were that didn't vote for Griffey or however many number it is. Trout's going to the Hall of Fame. Is this Griffey 2.0? And then I'll ask the bonus question, whose career was better, Ken Griffey Jr. or Mike Trout?
I mean, I'm biased here, but I'm already just thinking Ken Griffey Jr.'s longevity and consistency earlier in his career. I understand Mike Trout had a couple of really good seasons hitting a lot of home runs.
That's a three-time MVP.
Exactly, but Ken
Griffey does not have three MVPs.
But he played in the era of the 90s where, I mean, shoot, the Cy Young, I mean, was like three Atlanta Braves for a decade. Like there's just so many guys in the 90s that Griffey was competing against of that era. I think he would have won.
Yeah, bunch Bond, of juiced McGuire. Up freaks in
bunch
that
of
era.
Juiced up
yeah,
freaks.
Exactly.
If McGuire, he were playing Sosa.
In the, yeah, if he were playing in the 2000s at that level or at that age, I think he probably would have won more MVPs. And Mike Trout played in the era where he could win more MVPs because that was kind of lax, and MLB was looking for that superstar face of the league. Every single year, even after he got injured, yeah, there were a couple of years where he missed a significant amount of time, but 20 home runs, 35 home runs, 27 home runs, 30 home runs again through the age of 37 before he just kind of teetered off. I don't see Trout being able to do that.
My first instincts when we ask that question is Griffey. Like, there will be no one ever like him, I think, as far as his impact during his best years. I think we're more of an impact, not just for him and his team, but the league. I mean, Mike Trout was great, is great. Whether he's going to be able to have that bounce back and just give us 130, 140 games. It's like, again, we've only seen it once over the last four seasons. And you're getting to the point where the injuries are stacking up. It's just such a gut punch. And so from looking at the two careers, instinctively, I go Griffey is better, but it is a very similar career trajectory where first half of your career just absolutely dominant. It doesn't look like they're going to let up. And then it's just the wind is taken out of the sails.
I think I'm with you. I think what's crazy is when Mike was at the peak, I think I could tell you the three greatest center fielders of all time were Mike Trout, Ken Griffey Jr., and Willie Mays. And that's cutting out Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
That's cutting out, you know, a lot of great other center fielders. But when Mike was on that tear, I think what's with me is that I am not ready. I think it's because I don't want to give up on Mike. Like, I want to believe this is just bad luck. And next, I mean, I thought that at the beginning of this year. And when he came out like a gangbuster. And he looked really good. And like talking to my buddies in my fantasy leagues, it's like I got Mike Trout in the sixth round. And it's like Mike Trout looks like a second rounder. Like he is hitting, he is there, blah, blah, blah. And now, yeah, I think Jordan, I think Schultze, you bring up a great point that Griffey dealt with the same stuff that Trout is dealing with right now, but Griffey was still able to perform. And Trout is just not able to perform.
And also played in the era with the Reds where they were still in the National League where he couldn't DH.
Right.
I mean, so he had to go
to the
field.
He had to play out in the outfield.
And Mike Trout, even with all of this meniscus after meniscus tear, he's DHing. It sucks.
This doesn't question his Hall of Fame.
No.
Right?
No.
I'm asking the question.
I'm starting to wonder.
You're starting to wonder.
What's he at? Because I think of the Hall of Fame as hitting certain benchmarks.
Sure, and 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, etc.
You got to be on the field to hit those. And I know that he hits like a beast, but you got to be on the field.
I'm still in the boat of Mike Trout is a Hall of Famer.
If he gets to a new spot next year, if he gets a fresh start, absolutely. But this may be sentimental and, I don't know, kind of like witchcrafty sounding, but like I think that black cloud in Los Angeles is really
being an angel.
Yeah, he's got to get out because his body, I mean, it's like when you fight cancer, you have to be positive. You have to be coming, you know, to the hospital and waking up every day with a positive constitution.
And what about Anthony Rendon batting leadoff makes you positive?
Exactly.
Yeah, nothing.
It's hard.
Like, look at Shohei. Like, Shohei is probably going to win the National League MVP, and he's got Tommy John on his pitching elbow, and he's still raking because he's in an organization that is taking care of him.
I'm going to give you similar batters through 31 years old, baseball reference. Duke Snyder, Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, Vladimir Guerrero, Manny Ramirez, Chipper Jones. Most similar by ages. I mean, the last 3 years, he most compares to Duke Snyder.
But
so
how many years did they all play after that? Because all of those guys that you named.
That is the caveat, is that what are we going to see Mike look like over the next 4 to 5 seasons?
But do you think there's somebody that's won 3 MVPs and finished in the top 3 of 8 MVPs not make the Hall of Fame?
If there is someone,
steroids aside,
if there is someone, you got to let me know, because I can't think of one.
So Mike, so we can end on this and we'll get out on this. We can say that Mike Trout, his Hall of Fame status is not in question.
Not to me, it isn't.
I would say slightly, but when you bring up the
MVPs,
maybe
not a first ballot, but
he'll be there by the third.
He'll be there by the third, says Schultzy. I would still vote for him in the first ballot. All right, let's switch this around. Can you be worse? Can you be worse? Next, Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll dive into some bullpens and some offenses. Are they for real, or are we just struggling right now? Plus, we'll have fair or foul, but I want to get into this. Guys, do you remember when you turned 21?
I do. My son was going to be born in 2 months.
Nice.
Yeah, good. So it was a good, solid little hoorah.
Solid little hoorah.
It was an awesome baby shower.
Schultzy, your 21 run?
Yeah, actually, I had a bunch of people from the radio station come out. It was a pretty big party. That was a pretty fun night.
My 21 run, at midnight, I turned 21, and I went to the bar in Pullman. The next morning, I woke up and drove back to Portland and went on a 21 run with my friends home. So
hell
I had
yeah.
2 21 runs in less than 24 hours.
They would not allow us to do that in Oregon, unfortunately.
I will tell you what, the Chicago White Sox are not having as much fun as we have. It is what it is. Look, we talked last week. We think they were very poor at the trade deadline. Whatever has happened to this team, whether it's Reinsdorf from the top down to management, down to on-field management, down to players on the field, my friends, I'm asking you this. We're at 21 losses in a row right now. I read a stat that said if the White Sox won every single game from here on out, they'd finish the season 10 games under 500. Is this one of the worst teams we've ever seen?
They're on track. I think I did the math earlier today, on pace for 34 wins.
That'd be 34 and 128.
Or I think it was 38 wins. Yeah, it was 38 wins. It was because it was 38 and 124, and 124 losses would give them the second most losses in season all time
behind my Cleveland Spiders. That's right. In 1899.
Way below what their over-under was at the beginning of the year. It was in the 40s. I remember that.
Which is amazing, because I don't even think the Cleveland Spiders played 162 games that year.
Well, no, they played 156, because that's what it was. It didn't bump to 162 till in the early 50s, I believe, which is why the asterisk on Roger Maris at 61, et cetera, et cetera, blah, 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 blah.
Right now, bottom of the fifth, the White Sox have a 2-1 lead over the Oakland Athletics.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Pedro Grifol getting those guys moving.
27-88.
What I will tell you is the Cleveland Spiders in 1899, the reason that they only won like 28 games that year was because in the offseason they sold a man named Cy Young.
Hmm.
And the next year,
he would have gotten them 30 wins.
It was a drop off of 60 wins.
Oh my God.
By trading Cy Young. But that's also 1899. I mean, it's Cy Young through every
other
day. Still,
that would make his war like 60. It doesn't really, but it should.
They named the award after him.
You think, yeah, you think there was a reason for that. You see White Sox, like, just year after year, incompetence in their front office. But you talked about the managerial spot. Since Ozzie Guillen, it's been just mediocrity or just downright crappy management Ozzie left to go to Miami, or they fired him. I think they were just done after the World Series a couple of years after. Robin Ventura after that.
Terrible.
Yeah. Rick Renteria, who was the Chicago Cubs retread, essentially, that they brought over after they fired him to put Joe Maddon in there. And then, of course, Tony La Russa.
Yeah, it always makes me wonder, like, remember when they accidentally put out the we've hired A.J. Hinch, but then Hinch took the Tigers job?
Oh.
Do you think things would have changed, or do you think A.J. Hinch would have just been buried?
Buried, because this team... Because
I think he's doing decent stuff in Detroit. Like, they're not ready to win now, but I think they're building. Dark Skubal is great.
It's a franchise problem. It's a farm system problem. Granted, they kind of looked themselves a mirror a little bit and made some front office firings last offseason, but again... The ship had already sailed. Like, I mean, this team was going to be bad regardless, so they have new people in the front office, but they didn't even do good at the trade deadline, for God's sake.
No,
so it's just a matter of, like, does anybody know what's going on? And it, like a lot of franchises in sports, it starts at the top, paging Jerry Reinsdorf.
You have a player that everyone wanted, and your team is so bad and so poorly run that that player in Garrett Crochet said... Yeah, I'm out.
And you had a player that not everybody wanted, but teams still wanted in Luis Robert Jr., and you couldn't even get rid of him.
Yeah. Yoan Moncada, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert. You got guys ever. Tim Anderson was a two-time batting champ, and you were like, I actually think they made a good move on him by not re-signing him.
Because he's absolutely killing it for the Marlins, right?
Because he fell off. No, he got DFA'd.
Yeah, he's gone. Not even a Marlin anymore.
So you made a good move there, but, like, you were built to be the future. Lucas Giolito. You know, what you got when you sent...
And then he got divorced like an idiot, right, Schultzy?
Well...
Once you sent Aaron Rowan and you sent Chris Sale, you got a king's ransom for those guys. And those guys are lucky to be in the league.
You want a fun little gambling note on this White Sox losing streak?
Hit me.
If you would have bet a dollar on July 10th for them to lose and then just rolled that money over every game, you would have $11,000 right now. If you bet $100 on July 10th on them to lose that game and rolled that over, you would have $500,000. Now, the balls to bet on a team to lose 21 games in a row and just, I'm riding the heater, baby.
Well, I'll tell you what, as a diehard...
Give me black 21!
I'll tell you what, as a diehard Cleveland Indians fan, I hate the White Sox.
Oh, I
absolutely hate them.
I don't really have any ill will against them. I do know one person who is a White Sox fan, and so I do feel kind of bad for him because he's a nice guy.
But, Joe, let me ask you this question, though. When was the last time the Orioles won a World Series?
I would have been in the 80s, late 80s.
81, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say 80 or 81.
Schultzy, when was the last time the Mariners won a World Series?
Stop.
I'm just asking. I'm not trolling. I'm just asking.
All right. Well, there are jokes about it. They have never been to a World Series.
Okay. The White Sox have won a World Series in the last 30 years.
Yes. Ozzie Guillen. Awesome.
83, excuse me. Orioles won their last one.
The White Sox have won a World Series in 30 years.
Was that 04?
05.
05. Which is still unreal to think that...
One of the worst World Series I've ever watched.
Against the Astros, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Clemens, Pettit.
When the Astros were a National League team.
The Killer Bees, they were a National League team. Those playoffs were amazing. The World Series was terrible.
It was a sweep, wasn't it?
Yes. No. No, it's not.
Are we sure about that?
It's not.
I thought the White Sox...
It's four games to one, but one of those games went to 18 innings. It's really terrible.
No, it was a sweep.
It was a sweep?
Chicago 4, the Astros 0.
No, it was a sweep.
Done in 5 days.
That's a really bad World Series.
Yeah, game one, 5-3, then 7-6, 7-5, 1-0. Ouch.
Not great. Paul Konerko, wonderful. Mark Burley.
Think Frank
Jermaine
Thomas
Dye.
Was still on that
I
team.
Believe Jermaine Dye is the MVP of that World Series.
Bobby Jenks shutting things
Bobby
down
Jenks
for the White Sox
from Spokane, Washington, my hometown.
And yeah, Jermaine Dye was the MVP.
Jermaine Dye is the MVP.
Paul I think Freddy Garcia was in that starting rotation.
But I remember
Scott Podsednik.
Oh, Scott Podsednik.
Former Mariner.
Maglio Ordonez? No, he's in Detroit at the time.
Mark Burley.
Dude, Mark Burley is a fringe Hall of Famer.
He's a red ass. Also, just a little note from the last segment. We talked about MVPs, multiple-time MVPs that have possibly not been inducted into the Hall of Fame. There's only one non-steroid, accused non-steroid player that did not get into the Hall of Fame, and that would be Dale Murphy, our very own.
Ooh, Dale Murphy.
Portland, Oregon zone.
I know. The other is Juan Gonzalez, but you know.
Dude, tore his bicep off.
Light it up, Texas. Yeah. All right, we come back. We got a loaded second hour. Bullpens. Our offense is for real, plus fair or foul. Hot corner. That's Joe. I'm Patrick. Schultze on the glass. 10A the fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.